Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are halfway to the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. We have a hell of a lot to talk about this afternoon. And this afternoon, Ian and I are going to be there to introduce the bands for Wednesday at the Square, the Young Leadership Council's concert series this time of year. It's a free festive concert setting right there at Lafayette Square. It's just one block off Poydras in the Warehouse District. Really kind of the CBD Warehouse District area, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity to not get in the traffic right away and just hang out. You never know who you're going to run into. Sometimes you run into somebody you haven't seen in a long time, and a lot of groups from offices go to Wednesday at the Square, and it's partly cloudy right now. It looks like it's going to be a decent afternoon. We've got a chance of some scattered showers, but that is typical for this time of the year. All right, really a lot to get to this afternoon, but I'm looking forward to that after the show this afternoon. Now, I know a lot of you may not realize the magnitude of the danger zone that we're entering when it comes to freedom of speech. And, you know, you sit in your bars and you sit at your tables and you have your parties and you're at work and you feel like you've got freedom of speech. You can say what you want to say and you're not going to be punished. In other countries, theoretically, if you said something negative about the government, there are a lot of countries that would have you arrested. I mean, even if you just did it in the workplace, you know, you can't do it in the media. Well, because the state owns the media in those countries. But a lot of you, I don't think, realize the danger zone that we're entering now with President Trump. And a lot of this has to do with his insecurity about not tolerating anything negative said about him, even if it's the truth. So in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to a free speech expert. I have no idea what this person's opinion is. This person may totally disagree with me. On this show, we do not line up guests that necessarily agree with me. We line up experts in an area and we talk to them, and they may totally disagree with me. But freedom of speech is under serious attack in America. And while it might not affect you and your family and your friends, and you're all hanging out and saying what you want, and you're just talking about the president in a positive way, you're bashing those who talk negatively about the president, and those of you who were bashing Biden when Biden was in office or when Obama was in office, you know, your freedom of speech is not threatened. But when it comes to the media and freedom of the speech in the media being threatened, I don't know that every American understands how dangerous this can be. So we'll talk about that. Also, I did a review of the movie Conclave. We did not get to it yesterday, but I'll talk about it this afternoon. And this movie Conclave, which was out in movie theaters not long ago, it's like watching, I watched it the other night, it's like watching the news unfold in the aftermath of the death of Pope Francis, because it's all about what goes on behind the scenes when a pope dies. I mean, there's so much coincidence here that, you know, you can't help but wonder, did somebody know something? Did somebody just have a hunch that this might happen? Because the movie it's very cerebral. There's not a lot of action in it, but it's kind of a cerebral thriller. I really enjoyed the movie. It didn't surprise me that there are secrets when it comes to selecting a pope. And there's kind of a surprise ending. And you can read my blog, which is posted at WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And you can comment on it, whether you've seen the movie or not. There's nothing in the review of the movie that contradicts or that is a spoiler alert. You know, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to tell you the ending. And I don't want to build it up too much, but I didn't see this ending coming. And I will just tell you this about the ending. The ending confirms that the Catholic Church has secrets. Now, again, I know this is just a movie, but the Catholic Church has secrets. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later. And again, this is such a big story with Catholics in America and around the world, the passing of the Pope, and then now the conclave getting together and determining who is going to be the next Pope. And apparently, with betting being the way it is today, you can actually bet on who's going to be the next Pope. All right, I have wanted to talk about this recently. We haven't gotten to it yet, but we're going to get to it today. We've got a story that's been in our news, and you just heard it in the news with Chris Miller, a story about the state of Louisiana doing something about lawyer advertising. It's crazy. And I will tell you, it's not like this everywhere. Lawyers can't advertise like they advertise here, everywhere. And there's a lot that needs to be said about this, with all due respect to lawyers, with all due respect to the lawyers who advertise. There's a lot to be said about this, and there's a lot that you might not know about this. And in many cases, many lawyers are being very reckless and irresponsible with their advertising. And we're going to talk about this, and I would applaud the state to come forward and do something about the lawyer ads. And you know they're everywhere. You know, you can see more than one lawyer ad in the same commercial break. Sometimes it goes from one lawyer to another lawyer. Do you know how much money some of these lawyers are spending on advertising? I mean, maybe a couple of $100,000 a month. So they've got to be yielding benefits or they wouldn't do it. But there are some things that I think need to be pointed out about this. And I would like to see some restrictions when it comes to lawyer advertising. Again, this doesn't happen everywhere. Look, this is an exciting time to be in New Orleans. There are people arriving, just tons of people arriving for Jazz Fest and the Zurich Classic. Both of those kick off tomorrow. And I think the weather's going to be nice. It's going to be hot AF by the weekend, maybe touching 90 degrees. Also, Governor Landry has announced a commission to create a memorial to the New Year's Day terror victims. I don't often agree with Governor Landry, but I agree with him on this. Yeah, it would be really cool. It would be really nice if there was a memorial for those who died and those who were injured New Year's Day on Bourbon Street. And, you know, what kind of person is apparently on the job wearing an Amazon uniform and stealing a cake that was intended for a Sweet 16 party? I mean, what kind of person does that? We've got the story on our website, WWL.com, and there's a picture of this. Actually, there's video of this guy. He finds a cake, and he steals the cake. I mean, look, if you're working for Amazon, you're making pretty decent money. You're doing okay. I mean, you don't need to steal a cake. And I'm just thinking that this is just, you know, absurd that somebody would do this. I can't believe they haven't found the person yet. I mean, how difficult would it be to find this person? I mean, he's got an Amazon uniform. If indeed he works for Amazon. I mean, maybe he doesn't, but apparently he makes a delivery and then goes into the garage and steals the cake. This is something I've talked about a lot on the show. And you and I may not agree on everything, but even if you disagree with me on some things politically, you agree with me on this. Parents being held accountable for the crimes of their juveniles. And St. John the Baptist Parish Sheriff Mike Traeg wants to begin holding parents accountable for juvenile offenders and their actions. And this is in the aftermath of a 15-year-old boy, 15 years old, being arrested for a shooting in LaPlace at a Waffle House. Nice job, Mom and Dad. Nice job with your son. I agree with this. We have to start holding parents accountable. And I think this is further proof that a lot of parents don't really care about their kids. They don't care. But they might care if they get thrown in jail. And I think this needs to happen in St. John the Baptist Parish. This needs to happen in New Orleans. This needs to happen everywhere. Now, I know the argument it might be, well, hey, 15 years old, I mean, you can't control your kids at 15. Well, if you have not trained your kids to understand the difference between right and wrong, if you have not trained your kids and parented your kids to understand that there are consequences for negative behavior, if you have failed to do this, then you're right. You can't control a kid when he gets to be 13, 14, or 15. He or she's too far gone. So you have to start in the very beginning. And if you're not willing to parent a child, then please don't have a child. You don't have to. It's a choice that is made. And sometimes accidents happen. I understand that. But if those accidents happen, you're still responsible for that child. But I love this topic, and we're going to talk about this and all of this afternoon. And if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. And Ian Hoke is our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
And good afternoon to you, too, as well.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to Wednesday at the Square.
Yeah, I am too. It should be really nice. George Porter Jr. Performing. And actually, there are a couple of bands that perform, and it's a festive setting. And, you know, just in springtime in downtown New Orleans, there's this concert festival setting in downtown New Orleans. And, you know, not every city has this. I can tell you that. And it's a cool thing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I always like to, obviously you have a couple cold ones. You listen to the music, but the craft vendors are awesome. The soap guy is there, and there's people with jewelry and clothing and photography and artwork, and it's a great place that I've been saying, hey, that's a great place to get some Mother's Day gifts.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Also, we talk about it being a festival atmosphere. I mean, it really is. You know, food and drinks and music, a stage, and arts and crafts. And instead of just, you know, leaving the office at 5 o'clock and going and getting in traffic, instead of spending time in traffic, spend your time at Wednesday at the Square. And we hope to see many of you this afternoon. I'm really excited about today's show. We have a little bit of politics to talk about as it relates to freedom of speech. But other than that, I love what we're talking about this afternoon in terms of holding parents accountable, in terms of the lawyer commercials maybe being more regulated. And there's something really specific about some of these lawyer commercials that I want to make you aware of. And again, lawyers are needed. Lawyers in general, collectively, do a great job. They help people who need help. But in many of these cases, the motive of the lawyer is to instill in you a desire to sue. Now, it's up to you to make that decision. And in a lot of cases, there is a presentation of the law that makes it seem like getting in a car accident is the best thing that can happen to you. I got all this money. I mean, everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. There's celebrations around the money being rewarded. There's some things about this that you may not know that we will talk about on the show this afternoon. All right, I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to come back with your calls, and we've got some text messages to get to as well. So as we get started here, a lot to talk about this afternoon. And here is more good news. Crawfish can be found at bargain prices. Yeah, that's always a nice thing. Price of crawfish, way down. And the last ones I had, they were snappy. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're coming right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, it was on this day, April 23rd, 1976, the Ramones released their self-titled debut album, titled The Ramones. Beat on the Brat and Blitzkrieg Bop were on the album. This was a big moment in punk rock, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. You know, punk rock, I've talked about this before, punk rock was bigger in the UK than it was in America, because the economic times for young people were different in the UK than they were in America. And punk rock, in its roots, it was very aggressive. It was expressing the angst of a young generation that couldn't find jobs, and they were out of money, and they were frustrated, and they were angry. And that did not exist for young people in the United States at the time. And this is just kind of a generalization of punk rock. But punk rock kind of fit in there at a time when new wave, new music was sort of coming to life. And that was like the B-52s and Berlin and bands like that. And then that sort of morphed into the music of the 80s, which we now refer to as the music of the 80s. So this was a big day for punk rock. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Tesla profits are down 71%. Has anybody seen Elon Musk recently? I mean, what happened to him? I mean, I told you it was going to happen. I mean, you knew it was going to happen, too. Donald Trump does not like anybody to steal the spotlight. Elon Musk's constant presence around Donald Trump was hurting Donald Trump's image, hurting his approval rating. Because Elon Musk was not elected, and it seemed like he had a little more power than he should. Donald Trump is trying to pay back Elon Musk for giving him just under $300 million to help him get elected. So there was a sort of a deal made there that, you know, you're going to be part of all of this. And now Elon Musk is now seems like he's kind of dropping away from Doge. And it seems like that was going to be his big thing. So a lot has changed in the last couple of weeks with Elon Musk, and I'm not seeing him around like I once did. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. We have a lot to talk about. And I want to get to this conversation about TV commercials for lawyers. We have this a lot in this area. It's not in every state. When I go back to Portland, you don't see these TV commercials like this. And it's one lawyer commercial after another. And they're spending a ton of money. But there's some things that you should know about this. And I'm talking about this because the state of Louisiana is talking about restrictions. And I think, I believe they have a right to advertise. But I think there should be some restrictions on how they advertise, and we'll talk about that. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Mike in Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. I think you had started off the hour with the Trump administration's, I don't want to say ban on freedom of speech or
well, we're going to talk more about that in the next hour, but you can make a comment on it now. I have concerns, and I don't think the average American has the same concerns that I have, since I'm in this business, about the danger zone that we're entering when it comes to freedom of speech.
I guess my comment would be, did you have the same concerns about the danger zones that the Biden administration had when it came to free speech?
No.
Why?
You asked me a question. I answered it because I just didn't have the same concerns, because there weren't the same.
And I guess
the same issues didn't come up.
You declare your independency, but yet it's only one side that you have the concerns about. The Biden administration was censoring and colluding with social media companies to hinder free speech.
Mike, do we know that? I understand that, you know, and I have talked when I've talked about this. I have talked about how a President Obama was at odds with Fox News and wanted to shut Fox News up. And I talked negatively about that. That wasn't right either. But do we know that every administration is going.
No.
Hold on a minute, Mike. Hold on. Every administration is going to try to control the media. But when you disregard lawyers, when you disregard judges, when you disregard the law, and when you try to supersede the law to control the message, that's different than saying, going to the media, social media, saying, hey, listen, we don't want you to do this. Do we know that the social media companies really did do what Biden wanted them to do?
Yes, we know that. In congressional hearings, that all came out. The same thing with the Biden administration, the Obama with the IRS going after conservative groups.
Yeah, that was wrong.
All of these things are documented, and they were wrong. But I don't remember you have devoting shows to the injustices about going after conservatives.
Well, I did talk about that, and the fact that you didn't hear it, you can't listen to every single show all the time, but I did talk about those things, and you assume that I didn't because you want to assume that I'm more one-sided than I really am.
Well, if you haven't heard that the Biden administration went and colluded with Facebook and Twitter. And one of the reasons why Elon Musk purchased Twitter is because of the one-sidedness and the pressures from the Biden administration. Then I don't think you're a fair representative of somebody in the media.
Well, first of all, wait.
Quite a bit, and it's frustrating, and it's only frustrating because you say you're independent, and I just wish. Listen, I watch Rachel Maddow, but I know who she is, and I know what she's saying and what the point of view she's representing. I don't often watch Sean Hannity, but I know where he's coming from. My problem with you is that you come across as trying to be independent, and you go both ways, and that's far the furthest from the truth.
I'm so glad you noticed that, because that's exactly who I am. And the problem that people like you have with me is I'm not so easy to define. And you want everybody to be defined in one specific myopic way. You know who Sean Hannity is. You know who Rachel Maddow is. You're somehow uncomfortable with the idea that I can go both ways. That sometimes on
no,
an issue...
I go both ways.
Listen, let me finish.
I voted for Obama. I voted for Bill Clinton.
Okay, well, why was that a point of criticism of me? You had a problem with, you said the problem, you go both ways. Well, that's why I'm an independent, because I can go both ways, because I don't promise that I'm going to be right or left. I'm very honest with who I am.
If you took a poll from your listeners of what way you persuade, I promise you it would not be in the middle.
That could be true, but it doesn't mean that they're right. I mean, you know, if we did a scientific poll, and that cost a lot of money. If we did a scientific poll of our audience, I would be very, very satisfied with the results and would think that most people think that I am extremely fair. Now, again, I am very proud of the fact that I am not specifically right or left. I am conservative on some issues. I'm liberal on some issues. And that's the way many Americans are. I am a radical moderate. By nature, it's a great description of who I am. I have opinions, but they don't all fall under the same category. And it seems like you're comfortable with people who you know exactly what they're going to say. What I love about this show is you don't necessarily know what I'm going to say about an issue. And Mike, as far as the Biden administration colluding with social media, that's not right. But social media, that's a business. And they have a right to present whatever agenda they want to present. Fox News has a right to be conservative. Fox News has a right to push a conservative agenda. MSNBC has a right to push a more left-leaning agenda. So I don't know what the complaint is. The problem that I have is with the broadcast companies. And this is what Donald Trump is threatening, the broadcast companies. He's threatening to take away the licenses of those who use the public airwaves because he doesn't agree with the message. That is the absolute mandate and actions of a dictator. Dictators control the message. They control the media. In America, we have free media. But these social media companies and the cable channels, those are private businesses. They have a right. If Biden goes to them and says, I don't want you to cover this. I want you to be more this way. Why do they not have a right to do that? Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they have a right to be right-wing. They have a right to ignore the truth. They have a right to silence the truth and just talk about what they want to talk about. Those are private companies. So, I don't understand. I don't understand what you don't understand when it comes to social media. These are companies. They have a right. I mean, the media does not have to be fair. You know, the fairness doctrine, which was in effect until Ronald Reagan was president, and one day we'll do a show on the morphing, the evolution of the fairness doctrine and where we are today. But all of that changed when the fairness doctrine went away. So these companies all have a right to do what they want to do. And if they want to collude with Joe Biden, they have that right. Sean Hannity was calling Donald Trump during January 6th, telling him what he thinks he should do. And the network quite often supports Donald Trump. Do they not have a right to do that?
Mike was talking about this issue of Biden colluding with social media companies to censor conservatives. And, you know, I guess you can say it that way, but mostly what they were doing was trying to pressure those companies to remove content that was antithetical to what the government wanted to see out there in terms of COVID-19 misinformation, election denialism. Now, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, right over here, right over my shoulder, upheld a lower court's decision that said, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. It made it to the Supreme Court. And again, this is Murthy versus Missouri. And the Supreme Court reversed the Fifth Court's decision and said, no, you do not have standing to bring this lawsuit. So the Supreme Court, in effect, found the opposite of what Mike just told us to happen in that case.
Well, and also, you know, if Mike and other people are talking about information that is false information, but they want it to be true, you know, false information should not be there, even if you want to believe that it's true. There are people who believe in false information. And if a president says, you know, we're going to work to get false information out of the media, I agree with that effort to get false information out of the media. But the media does have a right to present false information in this country. You have to be smart enough as a consumer of the media to figure out what is true and what is not.
It is also true that the social media companies that their leaders testified in Congress, they did say, we wish that we had not done that. We wish that we did not bow to the White House's pressure to remove certain posts that we found, you know, violated the terms and conditions about, you know, COVID-19 misinformation or election denialism, whatever. So collusion, I don't know if that's the right word to use. I know that the plaintiffs in that lawsuit did use that word. Again, the Supreme Court found that they were like, this is not a real thing. You don't really have standing to sue the White House over this. Go home.
Yeah. You know, and what frustrates me the most is people like Mike. And look, and everybody can't hear everything. But people like Mike assume that I didn't talk about something that I really talked about, instead of asking the question, did you talk about that? And sometimes they say it, but it's a rhetorical question because they don't really want the answer. We talk about a lot of things that we don't get credit for talking about, and that's because people have selective hearing. Their bias has rendered them incapable of hearing everything. And what filters through is only what they want to hear. And in the case of this show, a lot of people want to hear that it's unfair. But if you actually listen to this show, if you're smart enough to actually listen to this show, we're very fair. If you have a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, nice Wednesday afternoon, partly cloudy right now. I don't see many showers around the area. Should be a nice afternoon for Wednesday at the Square, free concert festival series from the Young Leadership Council right there in downtown New Orleans, one block off of Poitras in Lafayette Square. Ian and I are looking forward to being there, different people from our station and our company and our sister stations like B97 and Magic 101.9. They're all introducing different bands, and today is our day. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, Wednesday afternoon, and it's a beautiful day. We're halfway to the weekend, and the price of crawfish is really down. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us this afternoon. We've got some calls to get to, and we've got some texts to get to, but I want to sneak this in here. I want to start this conversation, and we were talking a lot about freedom of speech, which we were planning to talk more about in the next hour. But there's talk in the state of Louisiana of putting some restrictions on the advertising for lawyers. And I think that's a good idea. I think lawyers and everybody certainly has a right to advertise. But here's a problem that I have with the advertising. When somebody says, I got a check and or so-and-so got me $900,000. And I saw one recently where somebody got over $1 million. And they're smiling and they're happy and they just look like just happy, healthy people that just got $1 million. A lot of these people in these commercials are actors. They're not real customers. They're not real clients. Some are. But the print is so small, like actor portrayed or something like that. The print is so small, you're not going to recognize it. So you are left with this idea that somebody got into an accident. And man, this lawyer got them $1 million or got them $500,000, and they are so freaking happy. Well, if you're in an accident and you get $500,000, if you're in an accident and you get $1 million, chances are you have been severely hurt. I want real people on all of those commercials, and I don't think actors should be allowed to portray the clients. Because if you get over $1 million in an accident claim, you might be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. You might not have an arm. You might be missing a leg. And the point that I'm making is that while getting the money is certainly a celebration because you have been wronged, you have been wronged, and the lawyers have a right to represent you, and the lawyers have a right to bring justice to you. And if you've been hurt and you deserve the money, you get the money. I get that. But what I don't like is this idea that getting into an accident might be the best thing that can happen to you because all of a sudden you're going to get this huge amount of money. It's going to be like winning the lottery. I mean, subconsciously, there have got to be people who think, I hope I get into an accident today. And I'm not going to mention his name, but there's somebody relatively new advertising, and there's this young African-American teenager. Well, a teenager, maybe he's 17, 18, 19 years old, a young African-American male. And I don't know I don't remember the script exactly, but essentially he's saying, man, I don't have any job. I don't have a job. I don't have any money. And so-and-so got me $300,000. I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right to present the idea that the best thing that can happen to you is that you get into an accident. You got no money, you got no job. Man, hope you get into a serious accident. In fact, the more serious the accident, the more money you get. So what if you lose a leg? So what if you lose an arm? So what if you're, you know, kind of brain dead? So what if you're functioning, but you've got brain damage because of an accident? And I'm really lucky because I was hit by a motorcycle walking across Canal Street. And my head hit. I don't know where it hit, but my head hit, and I was unconscious. And it didn't take me long to wake up, but I could have been killed because my head hit. And fortunately, there was no, you know, permanent brain damage. I know if you listen to this show, that might be hard for you to believe that there was no permanent brain damage, but there wasn't. But this person just took off. There was no person for me to sue. I couldn't call a lawyer. No lawyer wants to take up my case. No lawyer would want to try to find out who did this to me. And in fact, even the video that the police did get was blurred because the guy was going so fast. And they couldn't even figure out the license plate number of the motorcycle. So there was nobody for me to sue. And actually, I'm still paying on some of those bills. So the main thing is, in my opinion, that lawyers should not be able to use actors. People who look like they're having a party. People who look like, this is the greatest thing. I'm so glad I got into this motorcycle accident because I got $500,000. Let me tell you, if you get $500,000, there's a possibility that you are seriously injured and you don't look like the person in the commercial. And what I don't like is that this is set up as a new lottery, as a new welfare system, as a new way of just getting money. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with this idea that, man, you know, the idea that so-and-so got me this amount of money, just the way they phrase it, it's almost like you're getting a gift. Well, being involved in a serious car accident is no gift. And some of you have been involved in serious car accidents. And you know how bad it can be. And you know that you might even be lucky to be alive. So I am in favor of restrictions. While I agree that lawyers have a right to advertise, I don't like the idea that there are actors portraying the clients. And even though there are some clients that get a lot of money and might not look like they're injured, you can be sure that if they get a lot of money, there are serious, probably permanent injuries involved in that. Now, do you want to deal with permanent injuries over getting money? You want to just get the money and get the permanent injuries? I'm Scoot. If you got a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. We'll be back on WWL. Freedom of speech is under attack in ways that you might not be aware of. I'm Scoot. That's coming up next on WWL. Good afternoon. Wednesday, we are halfway to the weekend. I'll have a little more to say about the state wanting to maybe do something to restrict some of the advertising of lawyers that we see on television. Again, you don't see this in every city. You don't see this everywhere, but you see a lot of it here. And while I agree that anybody has a right to, well, almost anybody has a right to advertise, obviously, if it's legal business, there are some things about the lawyers' advertisements that are misleading. So I'm not finished talking about that. We'll talk about that a little more coming up. And if you're on hold, please stay with us. We'll get to your calls and more of your texts as soon as we can. There is an attack on free speech in America. And that almost sounds like a cliche. Because of my position being in the media, and because I have studied communication theory over the years, I'm very in tune with this threat to freedom of speech. Many of you may not be aware of it because, you know, in your bars, in your homes, wherever you are, you know, the office, you can talk freely. You can bash the president. You could have bashed Biden. You could bash Trump. You can praise Trump. You can say whatever you want. You can be critical of the government, and you can't be arrested. Essentially, you can't be arrested. And this is all protected under the First Amendment. But I have warned from the beginning of this second term of President Trump that there are things happening with freedom of speech that, as a member of the media, concern me dearly. And you might not be aware of these things, and that's why I want to talk about this. At the same time that U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi is talking about maintaining integrity of the First Amendment of the Constitution, her boss, President Trump, is calling for networks to have their broadcast licenses revoked. Now, it's no secret that Donald Trump is very sensitive to criticism. I mean, he's a human. Most humans are sensitive to criticism. But it seems like he wants to manifest his anger and criticism in the form of revenge. The idea of a president of the United States taking away a broadcast license over something that the broadcast network is promoting or talking about that is negative toward the president, I mean, this is frightening because this is the mentality of a dictatorship. What really got my attention recently was when CBS executive Bill Owens, one of the top producers of 60 Minutes, when he recently resigned, saying that he was losing his journalistic independence. Basically, he was saying they can't do what they really want to do. And they're afraid of what President Trump might do to them. The fear of the media expressing freedom of speech, the fear of the media telling the truth because a president might take away their license, to me, this is frightening. Let's see if I'm right to be afraid. Stephen Griffin is a professor of law at Tulane University. He knows all about this topic of freedom of speech. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be with you.
Am I right to be concerned?
I think in general, look, the First Amendment experts I most respect, some of them publish with the Foundation on Individual Rights and Expression. It's called FIRE. They're seriously concerned. And one of their areas of concern is sort of the pressure. I would say the Trump administration is just putting a lot of pressure on the media in general. And there are particular ideas that they're going after. Now, some of the sites where they're doing this perhaps don't seem important to some. You know, it has to do also with ideas about what's called DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. But there have been attacks even before the Trump administration by conservatives, let's say in Florida, on literally the expression of ideas. Now, the examples I'm familiar with were actually struck down by the federal courts, but that shows you that they crossed the line. And it's actually interesting. I was interviewed, you know, for recently by 60 Minutes on a topic of the possibly impeaching judges. I can't help but wonder if that's one of the stories that they were pursuing, and then it was suggested to them that was a bad idea.
But this idea that a threat from a president, I don't care who the president is, but a threat from the president would cause the media to hold back on something that is true or hold back on an investigation that they've done that sheds negative light on the White House. To me, this is frightening.
That's right. And I think you're correct to point out the dangers of the fact that the federal government is in charge of licensing these broadcast corporations. Now, that's something we've seen before, where at least President Nixon wanted, I'm not sure he ever went through with it, but he wanted to cause these media corporations, notably the Washington Post, which I think also owns some radio stations, he wanted to cause them trouble. This was leverage, in other words, that he could reach out and use. And yes, it's very troubling that the Trump administration would even consider this. And I don't see any basis for it other than, you know, they don't like these what's being said or their ideas. And yeah, that's a direct violation of the First Amendment. Right.
Professor, let's go to the basics here. The First Amendment protects the rights of Americans, including the media, to speak freely about government officials. And one of the original roles of the media was to hold politicians accountable for their behavior in office. And the First Amendment gives us freedom of expression. The other thing that is really unique to America relative to the world is that in a lot of countries, the government owns the media. In this country, one of our great gems is the media is part of the free market society and regulated by the government, but not owned by the government. And there seems to be this new mentality that the government should own the media, that the government can dictate what the media says.
That's right. And if I could just add, you know, the legal side, how we express this is that how the Supreme Court expresses it is the government can't regulate the content of speech, and the government can't discriminate on the basis of viewpoint. And those any attempt to do that receives the judiciary calls the highest level of scrutiny, which means it's almost always struck down. And so the fact, if you can show that the reason you're in trouble with the government is because they're objecting, you know, as you said, to what you say, the content, then it's a clear violation of the First Amendment. And the Supreme Court has been very consistent on this point, which is one of the reasons why First Amendment advocates are justified in getting upset.
All right, Professor, the government regulates the media. They don't regulate what is said, but there are regulations, FCC regulations, concerning profanity. So make that distinction.
Well, you know, it's been a while since I read those cases, but there are certain narrowly defined categories of what you might call speech that are not regarded as protected under the First Amendment. And one of them is obscenity. So it's been difficult to define, but to the extent you're saying something that's commonly regarded in society as obscene, the Supreme Court doesn't regard that as protected speech. Another example is if you don't, you're not just saying some general idea, but you target someone. Now, I'm not just talking about defamation, but when you target someone deliberately in a malign way, that's also an example of speech that is not protected. So there's a zone, a very broad zone of speech that can't be regulated on the basis of its content, but there are exceptions.
Now, let's talk about the technical part of this. If President Trump doesn't like what a network is doing, and the broadcast network continues to do it, what can he physically do to stop the network from doing that?
Well, you see, one of the things that's been going on in the background that people are really concerned about is that at the same time that President Trump is trying to do specific things, he's also trying to gain more power over what regulatory agencies do, like the FCC, like the agency that licenses media corporations. He's trying to exercise, in effect, more personal control over all of these agencies. If he's successful in that general objective, then that opens up vast possibilities for him to exercise more personal control over the decision making of these agencies. Now, that's something that's going on in the background that legal scholars are very concerned about. What's going on in the foreground is, even if he doesn't win what he's trying to do to the agencies, he can still, all presidents have the ability to try to influence determinations of what agencies do. But if they're successful, that's not the end of the road, though. A bad decision or a decision that goes against the First Amendment, that can be challenged in court. But I'm sure, I'll imagine the media corporations want their licenses renewed without the need for a long legal battle against the Trump administration. But such a battle may be exactly what the administration wants.
But the administration can't literally unplug a network, can it?
Well, the way I understand it, it could deny a license. Now, look, it would be litigated, and presumably the license would not be terminated until the litigation was over. But it's a chancy business. You're talking about something that makes, and see, these media corporations, they have a lot of different interests. For example, there's speculation that the CBS decision was influenced by, you know, their ultimate owner, which I guess is maybe Sherry Redstone. Yeah. And in other words, these media corporations are not necessarily in control of their own destiny in the sense that you know, CBS, you know, is used to be sort of independent, but it's not if it's owned by some larger entity with conflicting values and other interests, like antitrust. It could be antitrust interests. It could be almost anything. Yeah. Or they want to take the company private, or they want to sell it. Look, it could be almost anything. They could have irons in the fire with the SEC, but that makes them vulnerable to pressure, not simply before the FCC, but to all these other agencies as well. And that's one of the things that's going on in the background.
All right, so is there more that a president can do with the broadcast networks, like CBS, ABC, NBC, than it can do with cable networks like Fox, CNN, and MSNBC?
I'm not aware of a sharp distinction there. They all need permission to be on the air. I could be wrong, and there could be a separate body of law devoted to cable, but I really think as long as they're generally available to the public, they have to obey the same rules. But I'm beyond my expertise at that point.
From my perspective, it was the broadcast network's use of the public airwaves, as it was declared years ago, that would make a distinction for CBS, ABC, and NBC over the cable news networks. Professor, I want to ask you about the fairness doctrine, and I'd love to hold you over through a break, but I have to ask you if you have time.
I can go for a little longer, yes.
Okay, great. All right. Because I want to talk about the fairness doctrine, and I know we can't get too deeply into it, but we'll talk a little bit about the fairness doctrine and where we are today as a result of the fairness doctrine going away. And again, for those of you who just lead everyday lives and you feel like you've got freedom of speech, okay, you've got freedom of speech, but there are things happening with Donald Trump and the media that, concerning freedom of speech, are really, really scary. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. I'm Scoot on the air, and we're talking about freedom of speech. And I've talked about this on the show a lot recently, really since the re-election of Donald Trump, because from my perspective in the media, I see a real danger zone that we're entering when it comes to protecting freedom of speech. And again, you might not experience this in your everyday life, but you do experience the media. And if the media doesn't have freedom of expression, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, then our country is not properly served. And one of the gems of our American society is freedom of speech and a media that is not owned by the government. We're talking to Professor Stephen Griffin, Tulane Law Professor at Tulane University. Look, Professor, I want to just talk about this briefly. The fairness doctrine was in effect until, I think, 1985. Ronald Reagan had won re-election, And Ronald Reagan really ended the Fairness Doctrine. And that really led us to where we are today. Because just simply put, I guess, the Fairness Doctrine basically held the media accountable to presenting both sides of an issue fairly. When that went away, that opened the door for people like Rush Limbaugh and other radio stations, TV stations as well, to present any opinion they wanted in a lopsided manner without offering equal time. Correct?
I've heard this a version of the critique many times, and you know, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that keep in mind, conservatives. This was a part of an early victory for what I'll call the conservative legal movement. Conservatives really went after the Fairness Doctrine as an unmistakable example of government regulation of speech. I mean, there's no way around it. It was government regulation of speech and illustrates the really tough choices, because there's no way to really implement a doctrine of fairness without some kind of standard, and you'd have to be talking about some kind of government mandated standard. At the same time, it illustrates the benefits you can have by sort of clearing a space where everyone understands, hey, you can't put extreme stuff on without balancing it out. And it's true, once you remove the government regulator, people could go wild. I think there's some assumption that, you know, the free marketplace would balance out itself. But as you're saying, there's a good argument that didn't happen. But just keep in mind, conservatives had an argument. They had an argument based on the First Amendment itself, which was you shouldn't be regulating content in the first place.
Right. I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
The First Amendment is kind of a double-edged sword at that point. You know, that kind of the initial regulation, remember, of radio and all that is based on the idea of a limited spectrum.
Right.
But that started eroding under, you know, cable news and so forth. But you know that.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've always found interesting is that with my show, I'm a registered independent. I describe myself as a radical moderate. I'm conservative on some issues. I'm liberal on some issues. A lot of people are uncomfortable when they can't label you either conservative or liberal, but that's not my problem. What I find interesting is those who watch Fox News and they support conservative radio and they love that and they love the theory that they can say what they want to say, but they're critical of me for expressing a different opinion. And really, what I do is no different from what the conservative, the true conservative media does, which is express an opinion. And it's really no different. And I just find it so hypocritical that so many say, well, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You need to be objective. And yet they're supporting Fox News and conservative radio.
Well, I'll tell you, even on campus, people who support a broad spectrum of views have had an extremely difficult time convincing both students mainly and faculty that that's what the First Amendment is all about, a spectrum of views. There's a scholar who used to be at Princeton, now at Yale, and he's basically on the conservative or libertarian side, Keith Whittington. He's written very effectively on these issues, documenting over and over again. It's very easy to document that everyone seemed to be interested in the maximum freedom of expression to express their own views, and then they really don't want to hear anyone else's. You've got to, if you're in control of one of these public spaces, whether it's a station or a campus, you've got to embrace what you might call an ecumenical viewpoint, or you're not coming from where the First Amendment is coming from.
It just fascinates me that so many Americans are just so lacking of an understanding of what the First Amendment really represents. And the freedom to express one opinion is paralleled by the freedom to express another opinion. And it certainly is easy for Americans to support free speech when they agree with the speech. The challenge is for Americans to support free speech when they don't agree with the speech.
That's right. And in my lifetime, the most obvious example of this playing out, seemingly over and over again, is these attempts to control what goes into libraries.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about schools, because that can be a different context, but just regular public libraries, it just plays out over and over again. Certainly, we had a conflict where I live in St. Tammany Parish, When that happens, though, there are a lot of friends of the libraries, and you know what they mean, emerge. And what happens is people find out that there's really more diversity of opinion about what should be in a library. But libraries are a good example where, you know, there are choices to be made about what goes in them. But once you have that spectrum of views, a certain amount of toleration is called for, or the whole thing can't work.
Should we be concerned that President Trump will ignore the rulings of judges, the rulings of the courts, and move forward with an attempt to really end freedom of speech the way we know it today?
Yeah, I think that's premature. I think we're actually, I know people are talking about that, but I think we're actually a long way from any, some sort of definitive opinion by the judiciary, or really some kind of a showdown. And it's really hard to know whether the administration is interested in having some kind of showdown. Yeah. But I think in the end, good sense will prevail, partly because they don't have one or two issues before the court. They have dozens, and they want to prevail. Yeah. And that's understandable. And the courts are going to, in effect, say to them, if you want our good faith, then you have to show us good faith as far as implementing sometimes opinions you may not agree with. And I think that's the way it's going to play out.
Interesting consideration. How much pressure can the public, can the voters put on the administration to recognize that freedom of speech is a key to American society?
Well, I think there's no doubt there's a role there. Again, it's hard to convince people that there's a role for views they don't like. I think libraries are a good example, a way to get through to people that it's a balance of views and considerations. But I think it's also a mistake to think that, like, the Trump administration is above public opinion. It's way too early to conclude something like that. And so public opinion can make a difference. If people are exercised enough about this, then they can make a difference even, you know, when we're not in an election cycle.
And we are seeing Republicans stand up and disagree with Donald Trump, which they did not do during the campaign. And Donald Trump is a very proud person who wants to always have a lot of support. So maybe vicariously through representatives, people can have a voice in this matter.
That's right. That's right. And that's what I think will happen.
Professor Stephen Griffin, professor of law at Tulane, thank you for your time, your expertise. I really enjoyed our conversation.
I did, too. Thanks very much for having me.
All right, professor. Thanks for being with us. All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. How much are you willing to stand up and respect speech that you disagree with? Anybody can accept the speech that they agree with. I mean, that's easy. Anybody can do that. The real challenge of a true American is to accept the speech that they disagree with as free speech. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 2012, Ted Nugent was kicked off the bill on a concert tour at the U.S. military base at Fort Knox following the controversy over his rant against President Barack Obama when Ted Nugent insisted that Americans had to rise up against Obama and the Democrats when America goes to the polls in November. Well, a lot of people agree with that message, and Ted Nugent was expressing his freedom of speech, but the U.S. military concert series has a right to have on who they want to have on. And if there was disrespect given to their commander-in-chief, I guess they had a right to do that. Before I get to your calls and text, one more quick thought about lawyers and their commercials. And we talked about this extensively earlier in the show. I believe that lawyers have a right to advertise, and lawyers are needed because insurance companies do not want to give people the money that they deserve. But my problem is that a lot of these people in these lawyer commercials are paid actors. And in very small print, they try to hide it, that they're paid actors. They want you to think that getting this money, getting into a car accident and getting this money, that you're like doing great. I got $500,000. I mean, these people look like they're all ready to go out and party. A lot of people who get $500,000 can't party anymore. not the way they once did. There are sometimes there are permanent damages involved, and that's not represented in these commercials. So if the state wants to regulate some TV commercials to the lawyers, I'm all for it. And again, you don't see this in every state. It's really prominent here, but you don't see this in every state across the country. And I want to remind you that even though somebody says, I got, or somebody got me $100,000, I'm going to just use this as an example. I got $100,000. Well, they got it, but what they don't tell you is they had to give $40,000 to the attorneys, because that's about the going rate, maybe somewhere between 33 and 40%. So instead of $100,000, they're getting $60,000. Still, $60,000 is a lot of money, but you know, don't think that they're getting all of that money, because the lawyers are taking a lot of it. And I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue with the actors. And I think if the state's going to put regulations on the attorney commercials, it should be real clients. Now, you can have a real client sitting down who looks just great from the waist up. What you don't know is they're in a wheelchair and they don't have any legs. Now, would you want $600,000? Would you give up your legs for $600,000? You know, that's the realism that doesn't come out in these commercials. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Jay in Slidell. Jay, welcome to the show.
Okay, Scoot, bear with me for a second because I want to make a couple of points.
Okay.
The first of all thing that I want to say that I heard you say is that you don't feel like people conflate with your political ideology that much. That's not accurate. 37% of Americans identify as independent. That's both more than the Democrats and the Republicans. And most people do lean conservative on some issues and liberal on others. Now, you have your outliers at the fringes of both the conservative and liberal movements that are the hardcore problem in this country that seem to get most of the attention. Now, I want to rewind you back about 30 years, Scoot. You were on a TV show hosted by Angela Hill. I was in the audience. This is a very similar topic as what we were talking about that day.
I remember.
And I pointed out that the public interest is what, and it may have changed since then, but in your FCC licensing, the radio stations and TV stations were supposed to operate in the public interest, okay? Now, my point was that a lot of times with the sensational TV and some of the radio programs, that they're taking that fringe audience and promoting it, and that is not operating in the public interest. You told me that you thought I cared too much, okay?
But I'm sorry, we kind of broke up there. Would you just repeat what you just said?
Well, that I said that the TV stations and the radio stations that promote these fringes like they were doing, especially back in the 90s with the Jerry Springer show, were not operating in the public interest, okay? And you responded to me that you thought I cared too much. Anyway.
Well, I don't remember that, okay, go ahead.
Well, I do. Anyway, the point that I would like to make is that, okay, I don't know exactly what Donald Trump is intending to do with limiting some of this stuff. But I can tell you this. If he's talking about limiting the influence of institutions like the FBI to go to Facebook and suppress information that they know is true, that's not limiting free speech. That's preventing somebody from making false speech appear true. Okay, and I have no problem with having some fact-checking as far as what can and cannot be promoted on Facebook, especially by our government institutions. We look at what happened with COVID. They suppressed the truth. The government did.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't have a problem with limiting speech that suppresses the truth. Now, if you're suppressing an opinion, that's different, okay? But we all have our opinions. We're all entitled to them. But at some point, you know, there's just some really radical stuff out there, especially on the far left. And I think what it comes down to for most people, they don't want their kids exposed to basically delusional thinking. A character in the movie Fight Club put it best, and I'll paraphrase it because I don't want to say exactly what was said.
said in the movie, so you don't have to beat me. But putting feathers up your rear does not make you a chicken. And that's what a lot of people want to limit, is their kids' exposure to delusional thinking.
Well, this is nothing. This is nothing new, Jay. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you say, but worrying about kids and delusional content, you know, goes back to the 50s. I mean, this is something that is old as television. It's as old as radio. I would suggest that when it comes to people like Jerry Springer, I mean, I think the content is total trash. I find it I found it entertaining at times, and really, it's the marketplace that decides. You know. You might not like it, but other people like it. And who are you to try to ban something because you don't want your kids to see it? Your kids see a lot. And I think it's every parent's responsibility to prepare their kids to deal with the realities of life. They're seeing a lot right now. There are so many parents who are just totally in the dark about the pornography that their kids are exposed to on social media and on the internet. So you have to prepare your kids to deal with those things that they're going to be exposed to in the real world. And I think we leave it up to the marketplace to decide. There are people who think that certain TV shows should not be on the air because of their political views, but they have an audience. And it's the audience that determines whether or not they're on the air. If that makes any sense. All right, sounds like Jay left us. All right, Jay, I enjoyed the conversation, Jay. Let's go to James on the North Shore. Hey, James.
Hey, bud. Thanks for having me. First, I want to say something about the jingles real quick. Maybe we can have counter jingles. Because, hey, everyone likes a good little jingle. You could have, like, you don't need a rep to get a check. Just live your life and do it right. You know? Hey, man, let them know that it ain't just about watching a commercial and hoping you won't get a windfall, but you can have some counter jingles about not playing into that. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with lawyers having slogans. This was something that somebody was considering banning. I don't have a problem with the slogans. I have a problem with the misrepresentation of what it means to be in a serious car accident. That's my issue. And again, there's one relatively new lawyer advertising. And he features this young African-American male, maybe 17, 18, 19 years old. And he's talking about how something like he doesn't have a job, doesn't have any money. And all of a sudden he got like all this money because he was in an accident. You know, we should not be promoting accidents as a way of getting money instead of working hard in life.
Yeah, we got to keep past that. So I really called today about, I want to talk about Troy Carter yesterday going over to the detention centers here in Louisiana with some of the members of Congress and all that.
I'm kind of limited on time, but go ahead, James.
Okay, yeah, well, I just wanted to say that I think that was a great message to get out there, go and talk to people. Congress has the vote, the media has the mic, and the people have the message. Trump has showed that with his voters. He listens to what they say, and he does what they say. More Democrats need to do more of listening to the people and not just thinking the media has the message. And I think we need to start chipping into that 39% of Trump supporters who've been hanging in tight. I think this is a good time to start chipping away at some of them and making some good headway. But again, I'd like to thank Troy Carter for being the wolf yesterday and getting out there and getting the message out, man. That was a great interview he had on Racial Matter last night. He really spoke for the people, and he wanted to make it a message. It ain't just for the names that we see out there, but it's for the people, the names we don't hear. And when you talk about free speech, that could be any of us. That could be us calling in or texting into this show.
No, that's right. That's true.
Online. That's so we all have to be very aware. Voice of America got its voice back, so I'm glad to mention that today and all that. They won in court. Voice of America will be back on
that's
the
right.
air.
That's right.
But we still have to watch out. They're trying to take away the rights of people with nonprofits. They're trying to go after library money. So there's a lot of things we still have to be aware of, people.
James, I agree with you. I appreciate the call. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1616, William Shakespeare died at the age of 52. His play, Romeo and Juliet, was one of the ones that really sort of established a prototype for love tragedies. And there have been so many. Ironically, this is also William Shakespeare's birthday. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, coming up in the next hour, I'll give you my review of the movie Conclave, which was in movie theaters recently. I saw it the other night on the internet. It's about what happens in the Catholic Church behind the scenes when a pope dies. How timely. That and more next. I'm Scoot on WWE. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, this is a sort of a monumental day in the day of punk rock. On this day in 1976, the Ramones introduced their self-titled debut album. It included this song. Now, you know, the Ramones were punk, but the Ramones, I think this day in 1976 was not only an early tipping point in the world of rock with punk music, but the Ramones were sort of a commercialized version of some of the most hardcore punk rock. Like, this is really, really pop compared to, like, some of the stuff the Sex Pistols did. And as I have mentioned on the show before, and even earlier, punk rock was bigger in the UK than it was in America. And, I was on the air as a music DJ at the time, and I remember talking about this. There was this push to make punk rock go in America. And it wasn't as successful in America as it was in the UK because the music was very angry. It reflected an angry voice of a young generation that in the UK was just dealing with harsher economic times and fewer jobs and less money than in America. And so it didn't really catch on in America. There was still that cult following of punk. And, you know, that really ultimately led to what became popular bands that were part of the new wave movement, the B-52s and Berlin and bands like that. In fact, the Goo Goo Dolls, you know, they've got so many pop hits out, but the Goo Goo Dolls actually started out as a hardcore punk band. And I'm going to play one of the early Goo Goo Doll songs a little bit later this hour. Also, we're going to feature some music from the world of punk, since this was kind of a monumental moment with the Ramones releasing their self-titled debut album on this day in 1976. I'm Scoot on the Air. I'm glad you're with us. We've been talking about a lot. I had a great conversation with Stephen Griffin, a professor of law at Tulane University, about freedom of speech. And I remind you that on a pedestrian level, you know, where you know, you're talking with your family and your friends, you're in a bar, you're bashing Biden, you're bashing the Democrats, or you're bashing Trump or whatever, you know, that kind of freedom of speech right now is not really threatened. But what I see coming, and this is from my perspective inside the media, what I see coming is a real threat to, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. Is a real threat to freedom of speech when it comes to the media, freedom of expression. And one thing that really, you know, got my attention was one of the top executives of 60 Minutes decided to resign because he felt like he was losing journalistic integrity, losing the freedom to journalistically do what they needed to do out of fear that the Trump administration would come down on them and revoke their license. And Donald Trump himself has talked about revoking the licenses of some of the broadcast networks. So, you know, on that level, it's really scary. So we'll post this this conversation that I had with this law professor. And by the way, I said this at the beginning of the show. When Ian sets up guests, I don't know what their opinions are. We set up experts. We do not set up experts that agree with us. This has been the tradition of my show, really, throughout the history of the show. We don't go, okay, let's see, who's going to agree with Scoot? Let's see, let's get the, okay, this guy's going to agree, or this woman's going to agree with Scoot, so let's get this person. We don't do that. You know, I tell Ian, get an expert on freedom of speech. And so we found this professor. I don't know what his opinion is. And sometimes they agree with me, and sometimes they don't. But we look for the experts, not somebody that has a specific opinion. And I love that about our show. So I'm going to post that also on Instagram, and I'm going to post it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on that. The last thing I posted on Scoot on the Air Facebook and Instagram was a video about freedom of speech and the new threats to freedom of speech, and also about the new baby boom that Donald Trump is trying to administer a new baby boom by offering people $5,000 to have a baby. If you're married and you deliver a child, you get $5,000 and tax credit. Is that going to work? Well, I don't think so, but we'll see. Hey, I don't often agree with Governor Landry, but I agree with Governor Landry in his commission to create a memorial for the New Year's Day terror victims. Also, there's a guy, we've got the story on our website, WWL.com, a guy who is dressed in an Amazon delivery outfit, and he delivers a package, and then he steals a cake. And it was intended for a Sweet 16 party. I mean, that's pretty low. But how have they not even found this guy? I don't think they found him yet. I mean, if you work for Amazon and you're wearing the uniform and you deliver a package at a certain time of day, it seems like they should find that guy. You may notice the city is starting to fill up. A lot of people arriving in town for Jazz Fest, which opens up tomorrow, and also the Zurich Classic, which opens up tomorrow. We're not going to get to this today, but I want to talk about this tomorrow. St. John the Baptist Sheriff, Parish Sheriff Mike Traeg, is holding wants to hold parents accountable, parents of juveniles, for their offenses. And this comes in the wake of a 15-year-old boy, and you've heard this in our news, a 15-year-old boy being arrested in a shooting at the LaPlace Waffle House, 15 years old. The parents should go to jail. Now, you can argue, well, you know, people don't have control over the 15-year-olds. Well, no, you don't. But if your kid gets to the point at 15 where he's doing this kind of activity, you, in all probability, failed to be a parent from the beginning. And if we start throwing parents in jail, then we're going to start giving a message that if you have a kid, you better raise your kid. You better at least try to raise your kid. Now, maybe there are some circumstances that would cause some parents not to be held accountable, but I don't like this idea that parents go free, because a lot of parents don't give a damn about their kids. They don't care. And it's really sad, and it's not fair to the kids. So we can't get to that today, but we will definitely get to that tomorrow. If you want to join us with a comment about anything that we have been talking about, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And also coming up, I want to share my movie review with you on the movie Conclave. It's all about what the Catholic Church does behind the scenes after the passing of a pope. And Pope Francis just passed away. So it's amazing that this movie is, well, it's available online, and I viewed it online the other day. It was at movie theaters recently. I didn't get a chance to see it, but what great timing. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Let's go to Kenner. CJ, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
First, I got a statement to make, because ironically, I was one of those actors that you spoke of in these commercials. Okay. Just so you know, I'm hired by an agent. I show up to do a job. I received sides of a script of what I was going to be doing. And I even actually remember the lines. It was
how much money did you
get?
Hey,
I got reeled in by a rig. Okay, and I got $250,000.
Okay. Were you
and hurt? I was like, no, that's the point.
Yeah.
So what I was just going to let you know is, when I got the sides for that gig, I was like, wait a second. I didn't get hit. I didn't get rewarded $250,000. Why am I saying this?
Yeah. CJ,
but, I mean, it was
a
job.
I don't blame you for doing it. I don't blame you for doing
right,
it at all.
I'm
you're an actor. I blame the lawyers who want to hire actors who look like they're perfectly normal and they're getting this amount of money. A lot of people who get rear-ended by 18-wheelers, they're not in as good a shape as you're in when you did that commercial representing somebody who got $200,000.
Right. So let me share this with you. So let's move forward about 15 years later, 2018, I'm sitting at a traffic light. I did get rear-ended by an 18-wheeler that was carrying 8 pallets of zinc galvanized anodes that are 6 feet by 6 feet that go underneath the stern of a ship for electrolysis.
Mm-hmm.
I got lucky, and I had some equipment in my bed that when I got hit, I ricocheted off of the front of the truck.
Wow.
I spun 3 times, and then that son of a gun was coming right at me. I actually walked away from that accident, but I had a law firm that a friend recommended but for me to get big money, because the guy had bobtail insurance. So I wanted you to let your audience know, if you get hit by a rig that has bobtail insurance, all it covers is the cab. So if he's got $15,000, $25,000, $50,000, that's your limit. That's all you're going to get. You can't get any, you can't sue him for anything over that, because that's the only insurance he has.
Unless, well, but you know, that's why, but that's why lawyers sue, and lawyers do serve a purpose in getting money that people deserve. I don't like the idea that everything seems like it's a party when you get a check, because a lot of those people who are getting those big checks, they don't feel like partying. They're happy that they got
correct.
The money,
well,
but the they don't feel like partying.
The other thing I was going to tell you real quick was, I was advised to have back surgery so I could get bigger money, because they were connected to a chiropractor company. And the chiropractor would have me do all these, you know, treatments. And let me tell you, when you finally do get paid, a lot of that money goes to that aspect of that lawsuit. So for you to get big money, you have to have a lot of treatments. You got to have surgery. I know several people that got surgery because they were advised to.
Yeah.
They're worse off now than if they wouldn't even got the surgery at all.
Well, CJ,
so just because you hear, like you said, people get big money, there's consequences that come with that.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that that story with us. There's some commercial, and some woman got $2 million, or there's one where some woman got over $1 million, and I doubt that the woman that got $1 million looks like the woman that was doing the commercial. Hey, coming up this hour, I'm going to give you the WWL Jazz Fest code word for the day. You take that code word and go to our website, WWL.com/contest with an S, and you could be the winner of tickets to Jazz Fest next weekend. So, the passing of Pope Francis, the day after Catholics celebrated the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday, which happened shortly after the movie Conclave had come out. Well, actually, this happened. Conclave had come out, and then Conclave is now available online. And I watched it the other day. And Conclave is about the politicking that goes on behind the scenes in the selection process of a new pope. And it was just amazing. I wanted to see this when it was in the theaters, never got around to it, but I streamed it the other day and watched it. And as I was watching this movie, it was actually like watching the news develop. I felt like the cameras were behind the scenes of the Catholic Church, because the Pope had just died. And this movie, Conclave, is about what the Catholic Church goes through when the Pope dies. Now, look, this is a fictional story, but there's enough information out over history that indicates that the Catholic Church has secrets, and the Catholic Church does everything it can to protect its image. As tempting as it might be to believe that there's some kind of conspiracy about the recent run of Conclave in theaters and then the death of Pope Francis, I really think it's just a coincidence. Production of the movie Conclave began in 2023. That's over 2 years before Pope Francis showed signs of a declining health. And the Pope's health issues continued in early 2025, and he passed away the day after Easter. So, you know, watching the movie again, I felt like I was watching the news cameras just behind the scenes. Conclave deals with something that I've talked about on this show, and that is the question of whether the Catholic Church will seek to find a pope who will continue the more liberal philosophy of Pope Francis, or will the cardinal select someone who will revert back to a more strict interpretation of Catholic doctrine and the Bible. I'm hoping for the more liberal philosophy. And again, this is not regarding politics, it's regarding the Catholic Church. Pope Francis was more liberal than many past popes, and he was very accepting of the LGBTQ community, accepting of contraception, the issue of divorced, newly married Catholics being invited to communion. Pope Francis's views were very controversial and caused many devout Catholics to reject his philosophy. Pope Francis was also quick to condemn President Donald Trump when Trump said or did something that the Pope considered to be in defiance of the spirit of what it means to be a Christian. And Trump was never at a loss to come back at the Pope and criticize the Pope for what he was saying. Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene said after the news broke about the death of Pope Francis that the, quote, hand of God, unquote, defeated evil. Many conservative Christians opposed Pope Francis for his more accepting views of homosexuality, contraception, and, of course, the Pope's attacks on Donald Trump. As much as we have talked about the separation of church and state, politics and religion are naturally blended together under certain circumstances. And the Catholic Church is such a powerful entity that it's not a surprise that Catholicism sometimes becomes part of politics. The movie Conclave was slow getting started. It was slow. You have to invest in the characters and what's going on. Remember how you felt the first time you saw The Godfather? And there were all these names being mentioned, all these, and you had no idea who these people were. I kind of felt like that in the beginning of Conclave. So don't let that discourage you. Stick with it to the end, because there's quite an interesting ending. Conclave does present that problem that The Godfather presented with all the names being mentioned, and it's hard to keep track of that. The acting was good. The movie was the winner of non-Oscar nominations. I'm sorry, 8 Oscar nominations, including Best Picture of the Year. Now, the movie is very cerebral, and I would describe it as a cerebral thriller. But of all the action that takes place, it's the action that takes place in the brain that's exciting. I mean, it's not an action-filled movie. There's not, like, shooting and guns and things like that. Again, it's a slow movie in the beginning, but the pace does pick up, and you are introduced to some of the concerns involving the leading candidates for Pope. And those concerns are going on, you know, right now behind the scenes in the Catholic Church. But I suggest that you stick with the movie because the surprise ending is unexpected. I'm not going to reveal it, but I'm only going to say that the surprise ending does remind us that the Catholic Church has secrets. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we're talking about, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Yeah, let's just say the ending of the movie reminds us that the church has secrets. All right, Wednesday afternoon, Ian and I, after the show, are heading over to Lafayette Square. We're part of the concert. We're going to introduce George Porter Jr. and others. It's the Young Leadership Council's Wednesday at the Square Concert Festival in downtown New Orleans. Starts at 5 o'clock this afternoon to Lafayette Square. And we'll be right back on WWL. All right, this is a big day in the world of punk music because the Ramones released their self-titled debut album on this day in 1976, and they were really on the very popular pop edge of punk, but they were still punk rock. But here's another group that was really more into the real punk scene. This is the Stooges, and the song is called Search and Destroy. And some of you may not know this, but the Goo Goo Dolls, and the Goo Goo Dolls had hits like Name, Iris, Black Balloon, Slide, Better Days, Here With You. I mean, the list goes on. Sympathy, another great song by the Goo Goo Dolls. They had a lot of great pop songs and a lot of great ballads, but before the Goo Goo Dolls were doing all that pop stuff, they were a punk band. And we're going to do one of the early Goo Goo Dolls songs from the earlier years. Name, the song that was really their big hit that really kind of broke them through. The song Name was released in 1995. I've got a song from the Goo Goo Dolls from 1989 when they were really in their punk years. So I'm going to play that for you going into the next break. Let's go to Natchez. And Clyde, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm good, Clyde. Thanks.
Dude, Scoot, you are the doctor. You know that. Anybody got a problem, they can come to you. You can cure it. You're the doctor.
No, listen, I really can't. I do the best I can. I've lived a lot of life, and I think I can offer a lot of advice in a lot of different situations because I've seen and done a lot of things.
But you're my doctor, so I've been, you know.
Okay.
But look, Scoot, I need 45 seconds, just real quick. Now, they selected a new pope, and I'm going to ask you this and let the audience go from there. Would they accept there's one black pope that's in there? That's the opportunity to be a black pope. Now, as my research, there was 3 black popes way long time ago, but they never kind of put it into history. Can America and the world deal with a black pope, and can the Donald Trump people deal with a black pope? And the reason I say that, because biblically, we look in the Bible and it talks about Jesus being hair of wool and bronze skin. And I talk to my white friends, we talk all the time, and I say, hey, man, they talk about Jesus. I say, well, do you recognize it as a black man? I don't want to talk about it. Well, you know what? My thing is this. If Jesus was white, literally, it wouldn't matter to me. It literally wouldn't matter to me. I get on my knees and kiss his feet like everybody else. But biblically, it does not indicate that that's the case. You know what I'm saying? So they don't want to talk about it. And then when I have a friend of mine, Blair Underwood, who did the movie called The Second Coming. You got to see it. It's a really good movie. It's about the second coming of Christ. And the bottom line is that he's a black man that comes, and they don't believe that he's a black man that has come back as the Christ and as the Messiah. So I'm just bringing it out there because I sit there and I'm like, why do they keep doing the movies where Jesus being depicted as a white man when the Bible clearly does not show that? So I'm going to let you go from there.
Clyde, first of all, when you look at the area that Jesus was born in and occupied, historically, there's every reason to believe that Jesus was black. The depictions that we see of Jesus are of a man with blonde hair and blue eyes, and that's just very, very unrealistic. And it shouldn't matter what Jesus's color is. What matters is his message. And there are a lot of people, not just Trump supporters, but there are a lot of people, I think, would have a hard time accepting a black pope. I think that's ridiculous because chances are Jesus was black. And I would like to think that the best person gets the job and that the Cardinals do the right job in selecting the next pope.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you absolutely 100%. Thank you.
Clyde, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here is a text message that says, what surprised me most about Conclave was the significance of the University of Louisville. That College of Cardinals is really impactful. Alas, I'm a Protestant, so I'm enjoying the chaos.
That's funny, because the nickname of the University of Louisville is that they are the Cardinals.
Here's a text that says, as for Marjorie Taylor Greene, to say that the hand of God struck down the Pope is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of. The Pope was an old man dying. It's a shame. People have to make everything political. It makes us Christians look like stupid people.
Yeah, it's true. And people like Marjorie Taylor Greene give women, give Republicans, give Christians a bad name. And she is truly toxic.
Here's a text that says, first century Judea, Roman Empire. Somehow I feel better if God would send an emissary directly instead of all these men electing a pope from a restricted pool of candidates.
Yeah, but, you know, God doesn't work in that way. You know, I mean, even Jesus, like, didn't just, like, descend from the heavens and come down here. I mean, he was born in a mortal womb.
And I'll leave you with this one. They had punk bands here in New Orleans, too. The Contenders, the Goners, Steffi and the White Sox, the Sluts, the Normals, just to name a few.
Oh, cool.
They played at Jed's, Jimmy's, Old Man Rivers, and more.
I wasn't cool enough back then. I'm being honest. I was still too much of a nerd to even be into punk music. If punk music were around today, I would definitely be into it. But I have a lot of respect for punk. I have a lot of respect for the role that it played. It had a tremendous influence on the music that started off as new wave music. And that was the early name for the music of the 80s. You know, we look back and we talk about the music of the 80s. Well, that was really initially called new music, new wave of music. And again, I was doing music radio at the time, so I was, you know, very involved in all of that. But it's just it's something that really did, even though it didn't have big mass appeal in America, it definitely had an influence on music that was popular music in this country. So punk did manifest in the world of rock. All right, so I've talked about the Goo Goo Dolls. So many pop hits like Name and Slide and Iris, you know, nobody, I don't want the world to see me because I don't think they'll understand. You know, Black Balloon, Better Days, really good pop songs. But the Goo Goo Dolls started off as a punk band. And so here's the Goo Goo Dolls. Name came out and became popular in 1995. Here's the Goo Goo Dolls starting out years ago as a punk band. Here's a song, Sex Maggot, from 1989. The Goo Goo Dolls. Not a pop band, but a punk band in the beginning. Listen. kind of music that makes you want to hurt yourself, right? All right, I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back on WWL. Man, you know, I remember playing this song for the first time. I was on B97. I remember playing this song, Come On Eileen, by Dexy's Midnight Runners. And I remember seeing the video on MTV, and I thought, okay, music is changing. I mean, there was even a banjo in this song. On this day in 1983, this was the number one song in the country. Now, Dexy's Midnight Runners were a one-hit wonder in America, but they were big in the UK. They had other songs that were on the charts. In fact, let's go ahead and play another song. This is from Dexy's Midnight Runners. This was a number one song in the UK, but it never made it in America. The song is called Gino. I don't know. Ian, you think this would have made it in America?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. I'm going to say no.
I don't think it's much of a hit. But it was number one in the UK. Yeah, it doesn't seem like much of a hit to me.
No, I don't think so either.
All right, you got a chance to go to Jazz Fest. We've got free tickets for you. This is next weekend with Lenny Kravitz and Cage the Elephant and Pearl Jam and Luke Combs, and that list goes on. The code word this hour is souvenir. You need to take the word souvenir right now and go directly to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S. You need the word, code word, souvenir to register, and you're going to be registered to win two tickets for Jazz Fest next weekend. Now, I'm going to spell souvenir for you, because it's one of those words that is spelled differently than it sounds. Souvenir, S-O-U-V-E-N-I-R. See, I think I would spell souvenir S-U-E-S-U-V-E-N-E-E-R. But no, that's not the way you spell it. Anyway, take the word souvenir, go to our website, www.com. Good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is the Health and Human Services Secretary. He says that the government is planning to phase out petroleum-based synthetic dyes in our food supply. He says that these petroleum-based chemicals are being put in our food without our knowledge or consent, that we don't know about it. He says they're poisonous compounds with no nutritional benefit. No real benefit. They have measurable dangers to our children's health and development. He said that era is coming to an end. We are restoring gold standard science, applying common sense, and beginning to earn back the public's trust. And we're doing it all by working with industry to get these toxic dyes out of our food and out of the food that our families eat every day. Do you know what this means? Do you have any idea what this means with no food dyes? It means all of the Fruit Loops are going to be the same color. We can't have that. I mean, the big thing about Fruit Loops is they're all different colors. No variety of color. I mean, they're going to look like Cheerios if they're all the same color. Ian, you're a fan of cereal. Can you imagine Fruit Loops all being the same color?
They won't be like the bright sort of electric colors that we're used to. There will be a little distinguishment in there. They'll be like a sort of soft reddish brown, or maybe like a more yellow color.
Really? So they're going to have some color in there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in general, our food is going to be uglier, but I love this policy, actually. And I, you know, there's a lot about RFK that drives me a little bit crazy, but a lot of this Make America Healthy agenda, I think it's great. I think it's unfortunate that it took this psychopath to put it into practice, but most of these are good policies.
You know, I agree. I mean, some psychopaths have good ideas. So, yeah, I agree with this as well. And I remember years ago, there was all this fear of red dye number 40. Red dye number
40. Allura red.
Red dye number 40. And, you know, I don't know, what was in like Red Hots? You know, if you sucked Red Hots for a while, they would turn out to be clear.
Oh, man.
Suck all the red off.
Allura red is in everything. It's one of the most widely used dyes in the world.
Is it okay?
No.
Oh, it's not okay.
No, I think it's banned in most of Europe, or at least it has been over the years. I think they've gone back and forth on it a little bit.
What about in America?
I think there recently was just a study that came out that said, yeah, this causes cancer, and we're going to kind of stop.
Well, if it causes cancer, you got to get it out of there. But, you know, we're used to colorful foods. You know, we use our foods having color. I just can't imagine the Fruit Loops. Well, I don't eat Fruit Loops, but, you know, if I did, I would want them to be different colors. All right, if you've actually, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. Let's see, what do we have here last on the list here? We've got to get to a break here. Oh, like, this is a big day also. On this day in 1988, the Dirty Dancing soundtrack was the number one album in America. It replaced Bad by Michael Jackson, which was number two. Look, this is one of the deeper cuts from the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, a song done years ago by Maurice Williams. Jackson Browne did a cover of this, which was a good song, but this was one of those saucy songs in Dirty Dancing, and that was a great soundtrack, released on this day in 88. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back to wrap up on WWL. All right, sports talk. Mike Dettelier, Steve Geller coming up next. They'll recap what Mickey Loomis had to say at his pre-draft meeting to the media. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Cordipi. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. All right, I'll do a video after the show on Scoot on the Air, Facebook and Instagram. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.